We're back.
We
Episode
are back.
13,
Sure.
12. Sure. So we're somewhere there on this podcast. This episode, we are reviewing Beetlejuice, one of Tim Burton's classics, cult
Yes.
following. Apparently, there's a Beetlejuice coming out. Not Beetlejuice 2, but Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Nope. Don't say
I
it
said
three
it
times.
way too many times there.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, he's probably gonna come. Maybe if I say it one more time, he'll go back.
I think so. I think that's the way
Yeah,
it works.
that could be. That could be.
Maybe.
And with me, as always, my crime-fighting buddy, Cousin Bailey. How's it going, bud?
What's up, buddy? It hasn't actually been as long as some hiatuses, so I like it.
Yeah, we're moving. We're moving on this.
Oh,
Although
yeah.
some things kind of happened. I think we teased a film the last time we did Spies Like Us with our buddy
Yes.
Larry. I think we teased something at the end of that. We're going to get to that
What did we
film,
tease?
but yeah, we teased something, but
Do you remember what it was, or are you just not?
yeah, absolutely. It was Pulp Fiction.
Shit. All right. Yeah, but some things have occurred.
Some things have occurred.
As you
Yes.
mentioned, I mean, Beetlejuice is on its way out, and we figured now is it. I mean, if we're ever gonna do this movie, now's the time to do it.
Exactly.
And some other things have happened, which may even push Pulp Fiction back a little further, but
Yeah,
whatever.
yeah. But
But
we'll
I'm
get to
down,
Pulp Fiction.
of
We'll get to
course. I
Pulp
mean,
Fiction before this relationship ends.
oh,
So, but that
is it
could be
gonna
another
end?
40 years, man. I
Yeah,
don't know.
I better be. Golly.
Yeah, you
I think
know.
we've been through a lot,
We
and
have been through a lot.
we're still kicking.
Yeah. And we probably shouldn't be through some
No,
of the stuff we've been through.
that's true. That's true.
Awesome, cuz. Well, what are you drinking? Let's start there.
Well, I'm drinking Dos Equis. I was trying to come up with a legitimate reason why, other than the fact that I bought multiple 12 packs during the Cinco de Mayo lead up, and so I've still got a couple left. So, Dos Equis Especial, that's the green one.
Ah, the green one. Well, I tried to find a Zagnut today. I couldn't
Yeah.
find one in honor of
Man.
Beetlejuice, but
Man.
couldn't do that. So I have in front of me nothing too spectacular. It's just a Miller Get Right, also known as a Miller Lite. Yeah, I mean,
Miller
it's the
Get
hair of the
Right.
dog. Like it's pretty easy drinking after a night of drinking. If you just need to get back into the game,
Were you
just
drinking
drink
last
it.
night?
Was I? No,
Memorial Day?
day drinking. I was day drinking, but I
Yeah.
did not overindulge.
Yeah.
I was responsible. I had to work this morning, so you know.
Yeah. I drank so much over the weekend, which is unusual. I've been pretty good boy lately, but this weekend was just, I mean, I'm glad this isn't a video pod, because I mean, I look like shit.
You look great, man. You
I
look great.
appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Me, on the other hand,
No, no, no. I
so
love your
much.
hair, man. You look like you just got out of a boardroom in New York City.
Yeah,
I
you
love
know,
it.
I got the suit to match.
Hey, of course you do.
Yeah, maybe I'll wear it next time.
I love it. I'll wear a suit too, so
Only
nobody
you
can
to
see it
see.
but us. Exactly.
All right, Beetlejuice 1988, Tim Burton. There was the cast here is amazing.
Oh, God.
Actually, you have Michael Keaton. Love Michael Keaton. He kind of fell off there in the 2000s, but man, was he a star in the 80s and 90s.
Oh,
Huge
boy.
star. I mean,
Huge
Batman,
star.
the Tim Burton Batman.
Of course. Mr. Mom, he was in that Dream Team. This, of course, Batman 2. I mean, to some people, like, I love Christian Bale, but Michael Keaton was the Batman I, really grew to appreciate initially,
Yeah, and everybody after him, probably until Bale, was kind of a disappointment
I'd say so. I'd
going up to
say,
Keaton's standards. So,
yeah. And it was so weird, and it was like, 'cause I didn't really know much about Batman, like, I knew he was just a regular dude who wore a suit and was a badass. But, and that's, I mean, that's very Adam, oh God. Adam
Adam
West.
West, yeah.
Yeah. The 1960s Batman. I mean, that's kind of the same vibe. Except, you know, this the movie was clearly darker, as we mentioned. It's directed by, also directed by Tim Burton. And I mean, we'll get into it, but you can see notes of all of his movies in this, you know, as they came upon later, as we came upon them later.
Absolutely. I want to mention two other Michael Keaton movies, and I'm probably going to miss some other ones. I didn't go through his entire catalog, but ones that pop into my head are Mr. Mom was fantastic, and very underrated movie I'm going to mention here. I don't think a lot of people have seen it, but I absolutely love it. Gung Ho.
Gung Ho.
Fantastic movie.
That's a really good movie, and it was very like timely, you know.
Yeah,
It
auto
was
industry
auto
failing.
industry, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of a Tokyo takeover situation. Wasn't that the kind of an underlying theme or the theme? Did you ever see Multiplicity?
I did. Meh.
Yeah. But, you know, the guy was acting.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think Andie MacDowell was his wife in that movie, if I'm
That's
not
correct.
mistaken. I mean, good God. I know she's very next door, girl next door-y, but just, I've always had a thing for her. And she's kind of got that southern accent occasionally.
I was gonna say, she's got a southern accent. Of course you like it. You have a type. You got a type, buddy.
I know. It's like I gave up on it, and then I met my wife, Mrs. Cousin Bailey, at a party one night, and I was like, "It's back."
Yeah.
And it never ended. Anyways, here we are. So
Here
Andie
we go.
MacDowell, yeah. I mean, but you weren't kidding. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but Alec Baldwin, I mean, golly, and Mrs. Cousin Bailey was like, "Damn," you know. I mean, obviously he looked a little nerdy in this, but it was like he was very charming in this.
Absolutely, yeah. And he was probably what, 30?
Right.
So, you know, prime Alec Baldwin.
And like 100 pounds lighter, which,
Yeah.
you know, obviously I don't want to come down on anybody. You know, I've struggled with my weight as well. So, but I think it was before his, you know, no. I know it was before his fucking meltdown, his epic, like recorded meltdown that his daughter published, you know, on the whatever. But the next one I want to get to, because, you know, I need her high on the billing because she's an integral part of the movie. Gina Davis. I want to get your thoughts on Gina Davis. What are your thoughts on Gina Davis?
On her skills or on her skills?
Boy, I didn't think you thought she might have those skills, but let's hear.
So,
Yes.
love watching her in movies.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't go on a date with her.
Now, I think the only Gina Davis I would be interested in was Thelma and Louise Gina Davis. There's something about that Gina Davis that I was. Oh, and also,
A League of
kinda
Their
League
Own?
of Their Own, but I mean,
Yeah,
I
League of Their
love the
Own.
movie.
Right. Yeah,
She
yeah,
is a
yeah.
phenomenal actress, character, person, seemingly. But yeah, I don't, and I mean, you know, obviously this is the 90s. You can't judge someone on their looks, but I mean, I'm just not really, you know, I never was enamored by her, really.
What about a Fletch Gina Davis?
Larry?
Yes.
Younger Gina Davis? I mean, I don't know. There's just, she had that, like, she always seemed to have that, like, Elaine Benes hair. You know, that really confusing curly
Yeah.
hair. I just, like, almost mullety, especially in this. I mean, this was prime mullety hair. And that dress she's wearing, I don't really, it looked like an apron.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying she needed to dress sexy. It looked like it was made of linen, like household linens, but she
Right.
made
Well,
it.
they were supposed to portray what kind of like country bumpkin, not country bump, not, I shouldn't say that, but
Right.
like very simple Midwestern, even though this takes place in Connecticut, like, you know, I think.
Did you get the vibe that they were fish out of water before the fish out of waters came to the fish? I mean, the pond? Because, like, they didn't, like, they own the hardware store. It just seemed like they were, like, I'm trying to think of a movie where someone moves to a town and, like, they almost kind of like, they're not as absurd and gauche as the whatever the you know the family that moves in later.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't feel like they were native to that town. I didn't get that vibe.
No, they definitely weren't.
Yeah, like they were kind of like hippies who wanted to get away. You know, almost like, you know, they're driving that, you know, that car. The wife is driving, very Field of Dreams kind of feel vibe to that whole relationship. You know, like they're out of the 60s, but they worked corporate and then moved to this town to like kind of redefine themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the vibe I got as
Yeah,
well.
okay.
No, completely agree. Some other cast
Oh
members.
yeah.
You have Winona Ryder. You
Yep.
have Catherine O'Hara.
Oh yeah.
Robert Guillaume was in this.
I know. I didn't know that until.
So random. On the rewatch, I noticed somebody for the first time. Like, I shouldn't say I noticed them for the first time, but on the rewatch, the receptionist, Miss Argentina,
Oh, who was she?
I was like, man, I know her from somewhere. I turned to Mrs. Gus and I'm like, I know her from somewhere. And Mrs. Gus is just clueless on this when it comes to pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So of course I Googled it. She is Carmen from Three Amigos.
No.
Yep.
Oh, I
Yep.
love Carmen.
Yeah.
Not the hottest of the three, but definitely super hot. Yeah.
Well, you talking in this movie or in the Three
No, no,
Amigos?
no, no, no. In the Three Amigos. Like there was Carmen, there was that ultra sexy one, and then there was that other one who was also good looking.
That's right. One of
Again, this
those.
isn't a sexist podcast. Go ahead.
No. Oh, but interesting fact, Three Amigos, one of those three women, which I believe they played sisters in the movie, one of them was actually Carmen's sister in real
Oh,
life.
no shit.
Yeah.
It's
So they
fabulous.
kind of look alike. Yep.
But I mean, I know you mentioned Catherine O'Hara. I'm a huge fan of Catherine O'Hara.
Huge, huge.
I don't have you watched some of those I don't even know what they're called something, but there's kind of like this trilogy of movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind, and then there's a at least one more.
So
They've got I'm sorry, go ahead.
I haven't seen them. I know of them,
Yeah.
but I haven't seen them.
They're kind of, I think they're, I don't know, I know Best in Show is doc, actually no, Best in Show and A Mighty Wind are documentary style, but they've got like Michael McKean and Eugene Levy and a bunch of other, that guest, oh God, I feel bad for not mentioning it, not knowing his name, but you know, he played Count Rugen in Princess Bride. It's cool. I mean, like they obviously play different characters in each of these movies, but it's really interesting. Best in Show is probably the most famous, like pop wise. Like it probably had the most, like the widest. It's about all these different eccentric people obviously entering their dogs into like a Westminster type perform, you know, situation. And
Yep.
it is hilarious. So I mean, I would highly recommend that. But Catherine O'Hara, most recently, the Schitt's Creek. I don't know if you've watched any of that. I love it. Mrs. Cousin Bailey and I are huge fans of that. So, but yeah, Catherine O'Hara. Two
Her,
more.
so
I'm actually go
sorry,
ahead. No,
sorry.
go ahead.
One comment on or two comments on Catherine O'Hara was in Home Alone. She's the
Of
mom.
course.
And I think her best role that I've ever seen her in, and she's been in a ton of things. You ever seen the movie Orange County?
Oh yeah, of course.
Where she's the mom, she's just a
Yes.
wreck. She's a fucking wreck.
I know.
Dude,
She
she
plays
plays
that
that
so well.
role
Yeah.
so well. So well. It is fantastic. I love her in that movie.
There's notes of that in this, in
Yes.
Schitt's Creek. Obviously, you know, Home Alone, she's definitely together until the shit hits the fan. Then she acts like any normal parent, you know, human being would act. But yeah, she's got that dramatic, like comedic dramatic thing down. That's Orange County is a good movie. I like that
I
movie.
like Orange County, yeah. All
Yeah.
right, you said you had two more.
Well,
Who
I
else
mean,
you
I
got?
don't want to take him away from you, but Jeffrey Jones, you know, I know we're not supposed to ever bring his name up again. He's a pederast, but he's an 80s staple in movies, you know. And I mean, I think he made a minor comeback even after his
He did. He
name
was in Deadwood.
disruption. And
He
he
was
was
in
all, oh,
Deadwood.
not, yeah, not a minor. And he was in Ravenous. I don't know if
Yeah.
you ever saw Ravenous. Love Ravenous. Just the
Yeah,
mere
he.
mention of it makes me want a raw steak.
Yeah, he made a comeback after his pedophilia. So
Yeah. And then Glenn Shaddix.
I was wondering if you were going to mention him because I only know him from two movies. I know him from this movie
Demolition Man.
and Demolition Man. Yes, sir.
Yeah. He
Very
was in something
eccentric.
else. Yeah.
He's eccentric in both movies. I wonder if that's just his personality.
Yeah.
You know, kind of
Well, you
like
know what? When, sorry.
Nathan Lane kind of plays eccentric. And he
Oh,
is
well,
eccentric in real
yeah.
life. So,
I think Nathan, I don't think this fella holds a candle to Nathan Lane,
Oh,
but
no.
I
Nathan
know what
Lane
you're
is a
saying, though.
superb actor. No, I
I love
love
him.
Nathan Lane.
I mean,
Yeah.
I think we're gonna do friend, what's it called?
Birdcage?
Birdcage. I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely. We'll do Birdcage. Love
yeah,
Birdcage.
huge fan. But this fella, when I read off, and I'm sure you know this too, but when we read off to the audience, the other people who were considered for the role of Otho, it doesn't seem like it was about Glenn Shaddix, but he killed the role. And he was actually way more normal in this than Associate Bob or whatever the fuck his name
Right.
was in
In
Demolition
Demolition
Man.
Man. Yeah.
He's in one other thing that that I read, but I mean it didn't really, whatever. My antenna didn't go up, and I don't mean that as a euphemism. I mean my brain antenna. But I mean, a young Winona Ryder, I mean, 15, and she could have been 13.
Yeah.
You know,
She's
like
very young in this.
Mrs. Cousin Bailey was like, God, she is so young in this, and
Yeah.
I didn't remember her being that young, because when I
Well,
first saw this, she was older than me.
she was older, right? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yep.
I have that problem in a lot of movies. I'm like, when I watched like The Last Boy Scout, I was like, man, Danielle Harris was so hot. And I'm like, you can't say that. And I go, well, I guess I could have said that when the movie came out, because I was literally the same age as her. But obviously now as a 45-year-old, I can't go, man. But it's like, I've seen her since, and yeah, she turned out to be pretty hot. So it's just kind of funny. It's like, I was like, damn, Winona Ryder's young in this movie. And I'm like, but when I saw this, she was like 3 years at least older than me. And so, but that was funny. But I don't know if she had many roles. I guess she was in Lucas before this,
Oh,
but I don't know.
before, yeah. So it's funny. Do we want to get to who else was going to be cast in
Yeah,
roles? I think we can
definitely.
do that.
No,
So
definitely.
I only found one other person for the character of Lydia, which is Winona Ryder, and that was Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, but there were a couple more who auditioned at least,
Okay, who are
and a
they?
lot of them turned it down. But I mean, you're not going to be surprised when you hear any of these names. All right, Juliette Lewis, Lori
Okay.
Loughlin, Diane Lane, and those two right there are on my list. I
Yes.
mean, my all-time list. Sarah Jessica Parker, Brooke Shields, Justine Bateman, Molly Ringwald, Jennifer Connelly, another one, and Heather Langenkamp. Do you know that name?
Sounds very familiar.
So not only was she on the TV show Just the Ten of Us, which is not her claim to fame, I just wanted to sound awesome because a couple of weeks ago my movie knowledge came into question. But she also played Nancy in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies,
Okay.
the main
Yeah.
girl. So I had to drop that one because I was
Okay.
hoping you'd never heard of her, or at least never, we're a little confused. But yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous list. I mean, Alyssa Milano, obviously I think she's kind of lost her mind a little bit now, but Lori Loughlin, Diane Lane, those three right there. I'm doing a chef's kiss right now. Huge fans.
Who else was in the running for Otho?
So let me jump down to my notes here. When you hear these names, you're going to be like, John Candy. I think he would have been great, but
Would have been
I think he might have stolen the show a little bit.
maybe a little bit, and I don't know if like yeah, I think you're right. I think Otho was subtle enough but played an important role. Like
Yeah.
he was very subtle in what he did.
Yeah. Because we've seen, like I said, we've seen this guy go max speed in
Right.
Demolition Man as creepy,
Yes.
and he definitely was toned down.
Yeah.
Oh, and then John Goodman. So they're obviously looking for a plumpier fella.
Plumpy, yeah.
But the last one, oh, Wayne Knight, sorry, Wayne Knight, who played Newman.
Oh yeah.
I think he would have actually been really good because he was just kind of unknownish enough.
I think so,
But
yeah.
here we go, friends. Bob Hoskins of Who Framed Roger Rabbit fame. And it's very important to me that I acknowledge this because a couple weeks ago on a group chat text thread, my knowledge of Who Framed Roger Rabbit came into question because I misunderstood something. And I can tell you every line of that movie. Anyways, did you get anybody else? I got a couple more. They're actually kind of significant. The Beetlejuice candidates.
I have a long list of Beetlejuice
Yeah,
candidates.
why don't you do those? Because that's a good one. That's a really good list.
Okay, so Dustin Hoffman, Robin Williams,
The man.
Christopher Lloyd, Jim Carrey,
Yeah.
Tim Curry, Jack Nicholson,
Don't see it.
Bill Murray, Robert De Niro, and John Cleese.
Sam Kinison, Dudley Moore.
Oh yeah, see, I didn't. I knew Sam Kinison, did not know Dudley Moore, huh?
Yeah, I don't. Dudley Moore, no. In
Arthur
fact,
on the Rocks.
yeah,
Okay, yeah.
like I got three names that I just immediately would, or four, like Dustin Hoffman, Jack Nicholson, De Niro, and Dudley Moore off the list immediately. I don't know how they could have possibly played these roles. Now, Nicholson was before he was still, like, he plays crazy. You
Right.
know, like he was the Joker in the God, Batman, the Tim Burton Batman. And he was crazy in a couple other movies. He played it well, but I don't know how he would do. I don't know. I mean, I guess actually playing the Joker was kind of proof it was in the pudding because he's kind of supernatural, crazy. But I don't know. Sam Kinison would have just chewed up every scene. I don't
Yeah, I
too
don't think
much.
John Cleese would have.
No.
His comedy's different.
Yeah.
It's just
Christopher
different.
Lloyd, Robin Williams would have been incredible, but they would have had to give him more than 14 minutes of airtime.
Exactly.
I mean, there probably would have been like 1,000 minutes on the cutting room floor with the way that guy ad-libs, which, I mean, I mean, not that I want to cut ahead here, but Keaton ad-libbed a tremendous amount of his lines in this movie,
90%.
and I'm happy about that. He did a
Yeah.
great job. The movie was almost directed by Wes Craven,
Oh,
and
really?
yeah, and not almost. I mean, like, that's who one of the producers wanted. And frankly, knowing something else that I'll mention later that kind of tracks, but did you get anybody for anybody else?
So, yeah, I got one more for Beetlejuice. Sammy Davis Jr.
Right. That was the
Because
first one on my
Tim
list. I
Burton
missed it.
really wanted Sammy Davis Jr. because he loves Sammy Davis Jr. I
Yeah.
cannot see him playing that role at all.
Apparently there was like different iterations of Beetlejuice. Like one of them had him as a Middle Eastern fella, and then one of them had him as a African fellow with like a pidgin kind of accent dialect. So I guess if he had gone that route, and I mean, I don't mean to pigeonhole or, like typecast Sammy Davis Jr. because obviously that guy's got better range than me, but he could have played I think Sammy Davis Jr. could have played a white guy. That's how good I think he is. I feel like, I guess that's where he came in. 'Cause I don't know, man. That guy just seemed way too smooth.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think
Yeah.
he, it kind of goes in the, he's a different type of actor than some of these other people on the list that we already were like, no, you can't do it, like Dustin
Right.
Hoffman
Right.
and Nicholson and De Niro.
De Niro, yeah.
But like he's just too smooth. His comedy is different. It's a different kind of comedy. It's not off the walls. Like I can't
No.
see Sammy Davis Jr. just saying crazy shit.
Yeah,
You know?
that's what it would have been, a totally different movie.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%.
Anjelica Houston was in line. I mean, was potentially to play Delia or whatever,
Yeah.
Catherine O'Hara. And then Bill Pullman was apparently auditioned for Adam.
Oh, okay. For Barbara, I have Kirstie Alley.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh good.
Yeah. That'd
It's
have been
interesting.
interesting.
Yeah, of course.
Young Kirstie Alley. That was like right near summer school time. So that's prime
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley.
But Cheers wouldn't let her off, I think, is
That's
what I
right.
read. Yeah.
Yes. You're correct. Cheers would not let her off to film.
God, summer school. That's a great one too.
It is. Cool dude sunglasses.
Dude, what's his name? Mark Harmon.
Oh, yeah. He's
But
fantastic in that.
that's very interesting to me. I don't want to say it's more interesting than the movie, because I know, but it's very interesting. The people that could have played and what could have this movie could have been. Totally different though, with almost every person I'm looking at,
Yep. 100%. But
Yeah.
I love what Keaton did. Keaton was fantastic.
Oh yeah. He
Fantastic.
yeah, I mean, like I said, like, he's our Batman in a sense. This is like one of the most iconic roles in cinematic history, whether you appreciate the movie or not, you know, because I know it's this isn't like Casablanca, but this is like a very, very, very famous and popular movie, and mostly because of his just over the top willingness to do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, his jokes were raunchy, his mannerisms were disgusting, but it was funny. And I remember, like, as I was telling you in the green room, I hadn't seen this movie from start to finish since probably the first time I saw it that I remember. And I was like quoting it. I was like, oh, I remember this line. I remember this line, you know, and most of them were his lines. And
Nice fucking model.
yeah. Oh, I love that. And that was apparently an outtake.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. When
Oh,
he kicked
okay.
that thing, the tree wasn't supposed to fall over. But the part where he, you know, he's talking about he's giving them his bona fides about why he's, you know, like the bio exorcist, he says, and I've seen Exorcist 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every time I see it. I was like, I was waiting for that line, and I was like sitting there quoting it, and I was like, Mrs. Cousin Bailey, I guess I like this movie more than I remember, you know, or I'm fond of this more fond of this movie than I recall.
Yeah, it's funny too in that little diatribe he has there. It's, you know, he starts out, well, I studied at Juilliard. I studied at Juilliard, Harvard Business, or
Harvard Business
yeah,
School or
or
whatever
yeah,
business school.
Harvard Business School, and then he starts just getting like amping it up and going
I
harder and
know.
harder and harder.
Oh
Yeah,
God.
that's probably my favorite scene in the movie. I had something else written down as my favorite scene, but that I think that's my
Well,
favorite scene.
what's your favorite scene? Because, you know, let's
Well,
just not go
I
in
think it's
linear.
that one, but the other one that I was thinking of, there's actually two that are similar, and that's the waiting room
Yes.
scene, like, you know, where they're just all the dead people and just some of the comments that are being made, and
Yes.
it's pretty good. I like both of them.
So while we're talking about our favorite scenes, aside from obviously him going nuts, the possession scene where they're singing Jump in the Line or whatever, or De no no Deo Deo it, I know it's to say that's a great scene, but it really is. Like, I was sitting there smiling. And the other funny thing is, as I said, I have not seen this movie more than like maybe like five, six times over like the last 40 years. So like, you know, and obviously not all at once, you know, aside from that first time. So I had totally forgotten like the beats of this movie. Like, I thought, 'cause I remember those like fish, those shrimp hands coming out and grabbing people. Like, I thought that was so aggressive that that was a Beetlejuice trick. And so like, I was getting myself confused. And when I realized it was the Maitlands doing it, because of course, in the beginning, he's listening to Calypso music.
Yes.
And so Adam. And so I was like, I started putting it together as the movie went on, and I loved that callback. I know it's obvious now, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I was almost watching this for the first time, but with like a deja vu memory of it. Like, I was like expecting things, but then being pleasantly surprised when they still happened. It was really a neat. I'm glad this was how I watched this movie.
Yeah, that scene for me is meh. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's Mrs. Gus's favorite scene of the movie,
Yeah. I was
but
smiling when it happened, and I was like, I can't believe I'm really enjoying like this silly scene that has been overplayed so many times when people watch it. And then, you know, if you go to a baseball game anywhere, they'll go "Deo" just to get the crowd kind of involved.
yeah.
So like that song's become like kind of like the bane of a lot of baseball fans.
Yeah, and actually that scene was supposed to be different. I can't remember exactly what. I think Burton wanted the shrimp to jump out and like start attacking everybody. But Geoffrey Jones and Catherine O'Hara said, hey, we should do like a Calypso type thing. And that's how that scene evolved, was because of the pedophile and Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah. That sounds like a really, really bad Lifetime movie. The pedophile and
The
Catherine O'Hara.
pedophile.
Yeah, that's not a place you want to be, buddy.
Are there good
But
Lifetime movies? I don't know. Go ahead.
oh, I'm sure there are. How about one of the first things I noticed, because you mentioned the waiting room scene, you know, you had, you know, why don't you list off some of the people? Because I don't want to, if it's one of your favorite scenes, I want you to take this
Oh, well,
scene.
there was the lady who was sawn in half.
I guess she was a magician's assistant,
Yeah,
probably.
magician's assistant. There was the hunter slash probably poacher
Yeah.
who had his head shrunk.
Love
The
that.
head shrinker was there, but he didn't turn out. He didn't turn out until the end and the last
The
scene.
witch doctor, yeah.
Yeah, the witch doctor. Yep. There was the guy with the chicken bone in his neck.
Oh God.
It looked like somebody had died of in surgery because they were
Right.
wearing, it looked like, surgery clothes.
Yeah.
There was a guy in a sleeping bag with a rattlesnake in it.
Oh my God, I missed that. That's
Yeah,
hilarious. Love
yep.
it.
And then there's the receptionist who we already talked about her, Patrice Martinez, Carmen. She was Miss Argentina who had slit her wrist.
Yeah, this it's funny, these scenes are, you know, and then don't forget, like, I mean, I know you're not forgetting him, but like one of my favorites from when I was a kid was the guy calling people to the next, you know, for their appointment, and he had been run over.
Oh yeah.
The flat guy with the
The
tire
flat
marks
guy.
on him. I
Yeah.
mean, that was hilarious. And but so watch that scene. This is when the Maitlands show up in the waiting room. And I was telling the Mrs. A Cousin Bailey, and I said, wait a minute, why don't they look bloated or something? And I did a little research, a little. And so Burton chose not to make them wet because he didn't want to make his actors uncomfortable the whole time.
Okay.
It
That
was
makes
really just,
sense.
it wasn't a creative choice. It was just a convenience choice. And that's fine. Nobody gave a shit
Yeah.
except this podcast, because that's what we do on this podcast.
Yeah, so shortly after that, I have a question too. Like,
I
so
can't wait.
they meet Juno, right? Who's their
Right.
caseworker, which is great because her neck is her throat's
Ah.
been slit and the smoke just billows out after
One
she
of my
takes a puff
favorite.
on a cigarette.
Yeah.
But she tells them how to summon Beetlejuice. She
Right.
doesn't say the name, but she's like, if you say his name three times,
Right.
like he'll appear.
Yes.
Like, why did she say that? I mean, I know why, right? Because they
We
have to,
needed,
we
yeah.
needed it. We needed that, right? We needed that information. But it's like,
I mean,
we
maybe she
just go out
thought the
there.
warnings would be enough, but they weren't that good enough because she was so mean to them.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
by mean, I mean unhelpful.
Yeah, she was terrible.
Yeah,
Terrible
I mean,
caseworker.
great actress though. I don't
Yeah.
really know much about what she's been in, but she was definitely familiar. I didn't do any research into who she was. So they come back with terrible. I don't. I can't remember. Was this before or after when the they did the sheets? Remember they tried to dress. Yeah, no. It was after because she said, "Do what you know," kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
And what you know as a person who doesn't believe in ghosts is ghosts wear sheets and haunt houses. And so they try to scare Jeffrey Jones. He doesn't budge, thinking it's Lydia, I guess, right?
Yep.
And then they try and scare Lydia, who does see them and is does react. But then she says she had a date with Prince Valium. Did you catch
Right.
that? And so
I
she's
did.
out. The
She's
mom
out.
is zonked out, stepmom is zonked out. And so I was like, you know, what was the first thing that crossed anyone's mind when they hear Prince Valium?
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. And I think it had another connection to Spaceballs. Like it was one of those PG movies that had the that said fuck.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool seeing that. But I thought that
It's
was a yeah.
no, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but
No.
it's funny, like when she says that, you know, they show Catherine O'Hara in bed and they're trying to scare her,
Yeah.
and she just gets up and like turns the TV off and then gets
Right.
like falls right back to sleep. She thinks it's the TV
I
that's
know.
on. If that situation happened in my house, that would 100% be Mrs. Gus. She would pop up, turn the TV off, and lay right the fuck down.
Right.
Wouldn't notice anything else that's going on. That's
Right.
Mrs. Gus.
That is
And
so
I told her
funny.
that and she started laughing.
See, I think Mrs. Cousin Bailey would get up, wake me up, and then I'd have to go check the locks on all the doors and stuff like that, which I have done. It happens once a like couple times a year, maybe once or twice a year, where we hear a sound. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I mean, I have guns in the house, but I'm not gonna pull them out when I'm half drunk and on a whim.
Right.
But so you mentioned Geena Davis's character's name in this movie. It's Barbara.
Barbara, yep.
And do you remember the part where Lydia says something like, you know, says, what is this Night of the Living? What do you look like, Night of the Living Dead underneath there? Because she's trying to pull the sheets off. So have you seen Night of the Living Dead, the original George Romero movie from the
A
60s?
long time ago.
It's black and white.
Yep.
And there's a famous scene that I think every person who's interested in movies, even in mildest form, is aware of. There's a part where her brother is taunting her in the in the cemetery. And he's like, "They're coming to get you, Barbara," talking about the zombies. And so I thought that was, I that had to have been a nod. I mean, they
Probably.
mention Night of the Living Dead, they name her Barbara. That had to have been something like an homage or a whatever you call it. But I don't know. It was like little things like that in this movie showed me that, like, it can't be an accident in my mind how invested Burton is. And I don't know. I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but the original, I didn't read much about this, but the original script of the movie was supposed to be a lot darker, like scarier,
Right.
which, like kind of makes me wonder if that's when they were thinking Wes Craven,
Probably
maybe.
could be. Yeah. And it's funny too, like you say, like you've said some words there. Investment, the movie should have been darker. So they only had $1 million for special effects,
Wow.
which back then was a lot of money, but still it wasn't like
No.
what big movies were getting for special effects.
No.
So all the special effects look cheesy on purpose. Burton specifically made all the effects look cheesy
Oh, good.
as a
And
kind
fuck
of
you.
a fuck you to the studio, saying this is what you paid for. So I think that kind of lended itself not to be darker as well.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but like, what was his catalog before this movie, Burton? I can look it up easily. I hate to do live research on this on.
I think his biggest one before this was Pee-wee's Big Adventure, or Pee-wee, Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
Yeah,
right?
Pee-wee's Big
No.
Adventure.
Was that the first
That
one?
was the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this became his, with a few exceptions, like stop animation and, in camera effects. Because I think the only one that was not, and well, because like the snake was stop animation, but like the sandworm and like that sand land or whatever you call it, that was, I think, the only one that was like not in camera with like the actors and, well, I guess I don't know how the sandworm one, or I mean the snake one was done, but regardless, I mean, most of them were done in camera. So, like I said, I you know, like he even went so far as to make two movies with stop animation. And one of them my kids are fucking obsessed with, the Nightmare Before Halloween.
Yeah.
And then he also did The Corpse Bride, which I never saw, mercifully.
Is Large Marge considered stop animation?
Yeah, I mean, that's like claymation,
Oh,
which
that's
I think is the same. Well,
Clayman.
no, but it's the same thing because her face
Yeah.
like screams out. I mean, there's no way it
Right.
was.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
It's
that's
crazy
right.
too because everybody was signed on to do a Beetlejuice 2 right after this movie, because it was such a hit.
Yeah.
They didn't do it because Burton got Batman, and so he brought Keaton over, and so they did the Batmans together.
Yeah.
But Beetlejuice 2 was supposed to be Beetlejuice, like, goes Hawaii
Yeah.
or something like that. So I don't know. That doesn't sound very
No.
appealing to
No. I'm
me
glad they didn't do
whatsoever.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it probably would have been a complete failure.
Yeah. I mean, like here, like you're right. He did Pee-wee's Big Adventure in 85, which I can't believe that movie's that old. And I can't believe he directed it because it's so bright.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of his movies are gray or colorful but dark. He did this in 88, Batman in 89, Edward Scissorhands in 90, Batman 2 in 92, Ed Wood in 94. Not very critically acclaimed, but I liked it. Very good movie. Mars Attacks, it doesn't have a high score, but it was way more popular. Sleepy Hollow, Planet of the Apes. These are now, a couple of years apart now. I don't know. Did you ever see Planet of the Apes, that remake with Marky Mark Wahlberg?
No, I've never seen any of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
That's
Well,
apes.
the 60s ones, the original ones, Larry and I watched them all, and they're all entertaining and terrible, but entertaining. And in the one Burton did, the effects, the makeup effects are incredible. And it's also got like a really huge cast. Believe it or not, Helena Bonham Carter is in it, if you can believe that. You
No
know,
way.
his, yeah,
They were
his
married, right?
param or I don't know if they ever got married, but they lived together for many, many years and had kids. And if they still don't, then I would be surprised if they still don't, because I don't know. Big Fish, never saw it, but
Big
heard.
Fish is a Big Fish
Oh,
That
I've
was the
heard of it,
first
of course.
movie that Mrs. Gus and I watched together where I
Oh.
cried.
Oh.
Yeah, I cried in Big Fish.
And then she still stayed with you.
She did. Well, we were already married. She had no choice.
Oh, God. She was
Yeah.
stuck. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Never watched it. That was in the Johnny Depp creep stage. Not a fan of. I'm just, oh, Sweeney Todd, another kind of Johnny Depp creep. Alice in Wonderland. I think Johnny Depp was in that. Dark
Yep.
Shadows, Johnny Depp.
Yep.
I'm just picking out ones that I'm actually interested in. I didn't see Dumbo, but I've never, zero intention. And then I also, we mentioned, oh, and he did the Wednesday Addams, Wednesday, it's on
Oh,
Netflix.
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We liked it a lot. I find the actress kind of intolerable, but I got to get over that because she's in the next.
She's in Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
She's in Beetlejuice. God, we just did it. Wait, so he didn't. I thought he did A Nightmare Before Christmas. Am I wrong about that?
Thought he did too.
I know he was involved in it because there's Corpse Bride. I mean, like I said, I love doing live research on a podcast. He was involved in a Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I don't know if you did you ever see
Ugh,
that?
I turned it off.
I saw it in the theater with Mrs. Cousin Bailey. So he didn't direct, he wrote and produced A Nightmare Before Christmas, but did not direct. But speaking of that movie, the guy who arranged the musical numbers for that also did the music for this, Danny Elfman. He's got a long and distinguished career as a composer. I'm just gonna list it. He did basically he's you know, he did Men in Black. I'm trying to see movies that you know he didn't have wasn't totally involved with Tim Burton with, but he's got so many. But I mean, honestly, it's funny about A Nightmare Before Christmas. The movie is not for everybody. Obviously, it's for my 8-year-old, but the music is actually really well done. Like the original shit, and I think it's all original, is really good. And you know, and like I said, or like I'm alluding to, the music in this is great too, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's Tim Burton's catalog. Did you ever see the show Community?
I did not.
It was a comedy on NBC for like, you know, the mid 2000s. Season one, great. Season two, okay. Season three, you know, you can tell by my voice that it's, you know, I kind of lost interest. However, I mean, you had many, many moons to watch this movie. So me saying this, I hope it doesn't spoil anything for anybody, but there's a funny little thing. There's that they say the word Beetlejuice three times in each of the first seasons. Like, or excuse me, they say it once in each of the first seasons. And on the third time, it happens to be Halloween, and this guy dressed like Beetlejuice walks by. So it's kind of a funny little thing if you catch it and you're a fan of the show and a fan of the movie. But you know, there's that. But yeah.
There was some dark stuff to this movie too,
Yeah.
like some callbacks. So the when they're in their first meeting with Juno, or I think on the way, there's like a PA announcement and it's saying like flight such and such, whatever, things like 405 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was an actual flight that crashed in 1955. So they were calling the people that didn't make it, which was the whole flight, didn't make it
Yeah.
out of that. And then the football team later on, when they have another meeting with Juno, they were based off of the Marshall.
Right.
So it's like, okay, like you're taking some actual like disasters and
Yeah.
putting them in this movie.
Did you recognize one of the football players? Actually, the one who said, "I don't think the coach made it," or something like that, or "I don't think coach survived the accident," or "I don't," or something. I don't think. No, he says, "I don't think we survived the accident."
Right. So
Did you recognize him?
I recognized the voice, I couldn't make out the face, and I didn't look it up. But you're gonna
So
tell me, and I'm gonna kick myself in the ass.
Mrs. Cousin Bailey and I have a little competition, not dissimilar to the way you watch movies, but very dissimilar to the way Mrs. Gus watches movies. Like, we're always sitting there going, where do we know that guy from? And then we have to look it up.
Exactly.
So I was watching and I just go, I know that guy. He was one of the defensive guys in the program.
Oh, okay.
Dwayne Davis. He, I mean, whatever. He's the one who, I think, maybe, I think he was maybe offensive. I don't, it doesn't matter. He's one of the guy, one of the players in the program. He's the one who I think fucks his leg up. Remember, like, he's got like, you know, he's got a, you know, like a future in the NFL and then he blows his knee out and he's watching the game from his crappy little shack. You know, with tears in his eyes. Oh, God, it's just horrible.
I remember it. Yeah, now I see his. Yeah, and that's where. So I remember him not from, because I just clicked on it to see what he was in. I don't remember him from the program. I remember him from Necessary Roughness.
Yeah. Was he the receiver?
Yes, he was a receiver. Stone Hands.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I'll scroll down, but I'm going to call this out before I actually look at it.
Yes.
I think he was in Summer School. Was he the kid
maybe.
Who,
the hall pass?
The hall pass. He was in the bathroom the whole time.
Right. And he's the only one who passed the test?
Yeah. I don't know. I think a couple others.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. He passed the test.
I don't see
it. I had to use the bathroom.
Yes, it was him. He nice. Was in it. So, okay. I knew the voice.
And we just brought Summer School back. Now, second call back to Summer School. I feel like we are, somebody needs to do a podcast about our podcast and all of our callbacks.
That's right.
Seems really interesting. I mean, we don't go linear in this movie, in this podcast, but I want to know, I mean, so I'm going to ask you, like, you know, without like cutting to the end here, like, I mean, what do you think about this movie? Like, you know, you're on upon rewatch.
I kind of feel like it's the same for me, which is, it's a good movie.
Did you watch it like when it came out? Do you remember watching it when as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I've watched this movie probably all the way through 10 to 15 times.
Okay, good for you.
So, but it's not one, you know, 10 to 15 times over 40 years. That's not a, it's not a lot, right?
It's like, a lot for some people, not for us, but it's
is.
A lot for
You're
some
right.
People.
Yeah. If it were to come on, like, for example, and I think we talked about this in the green room, I didn't buy this movie. I rented it.
Same.
It wasn't on any streaming service, so I rented it. I did not buy it. Typically, if we're gonna review a movie, if I don't already own it, I buy it. So
same.
Interesting note though on that, renting and buying. I believe this movie was the first DVD mailed out by Netflix.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now we may have lost half of our audience who have no idea that Netflix ever did that, but I did that all the time. I'm sure you did too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
100%. Huge fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be like same day, like, or, you know, next morning, watch and then drop in the mail. Send me my next flick. Send me my next flick.
Yep. I need it. So what are
one
your
time
thoughts?
One time they sent me two DVDs of the same, and I sent one back and kept getting one. So I ended up keeping this movie and I don't even remember what it was. I think it was like Deadwood season two or something.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting. So I mean, anyone who knows me knows if I love a movie, I'll watch it until I memorize it and everyone around me hates me watching it. But so like this movie, I have not seen as many times. I probably haven't seen it. I definitely not all the way through 10 times. I mean, good God. I mean, I've probably seen it all the way through just like a handful of times. If that, maybe as I was mentioning in the green room, maybe just the one original viewing. And that, because there's a lot of stuff I didn't remember, like the realtor. Obviously, being a realtor myself, I recognize that more in a movie or a TV show. But like, I didn't even think about her selling that house. Like, that didn't even occur to me. Like I said, the possession scene, I didn't realize that was the Maitlands doing it. I thought it was really weird that they died and such. Like, they were both wearing their seatbelts. So, like, I don't know how they died. You know, but like, you know, and then at the very, very end, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't seen Beetlejuice, who's listening to this podcast, at the very end, They are celebrating Lydia getting an A in math and a C in science with a little friendly possession. But I can't figure out the dynamic. I know that they're living happily with Jeffrey Jones and Catherine O'Hara, or at least Jeffrey Jones. No, I guess Catherine O'Hara's there.
No, Catherine O'Hara was there. Yeah.
Yeah, so where in the house were they just sharing the house completely?
I think so. I think they were just sharing it.
So there wasn't like they're restricted to the floors and they're restricted to the.
No, because when you see Lydia and doing the song and dance, she's levitating like above the stairs, the staircase that goes up, and they were confined to the attic at the beginning.
Because Jeffrey Jones in that scene goes, he looks up, is when the music starts playing, and he says, "Oh, sounds like Lydia got an A on her math test." But why is he looking up? Because I mean, they're theoretically on the first floor, and I know there is a basement, so maybe Jeffrey Jones converted the basement into something. I just
Maybe.
the whatever of the layout of the house is a little confusing to me in that last scene, because I was sitting there watching it going, wait, did Lydia die? And then, you know, that actually was a possibility in one of the drafts of the movie that she was going to commit suicide so that she would be with Adam and Barbara. But thankfully, I mean, I think this is important. They rewrote it so that they just lived happily ever after together because they didn't want to glorify teen suicide.
Yeah, no, I
And
wouldn't either.
I think that was a good choice. I mean, there's enough of that going on in real world. So, you know, because I mean, that's not something we joke about. I mean, obviously they made those jokes in the waiting room, but anyways, so,
So
but overall, I mean, I like it. Definitely don't dislike it. Like it more. Remember it fondly. I did. I just turned into Yoda there for a second. I remember it fondly and then upon rewatch more so than I thought I would. Let's say that.
So there's another scene too that I like, and it's a callback to The Fly, which
Fly. Oh, yeah.
Gina Davis was in The Fly, and actually Michael Keaton was he was either up for that role or cast and pulled out, and
Right.
then
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum took that role. But there's a great scene, and I like it, where Beetlejuice is in the model underneath the grass, which is like
Oh, yeah.
foam,
Yeah.
and he holds up a Zag Nut to try to entice this fly to come in. And I just wonder how, or not how, but if Beetlejuice ate the fly and the Zag Nut, like what would make that even better than a fly Zag Nut s'more?
So you're saying, I mean, let's be frank. You're saying, how in the world could you possibly make a fly edible, consumable? I think I have the perfect solution for you because coincidentally, this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of peppers with fruit juices to create some unique barbecue sauces. After sharing his sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world in the goal to become your new favorite sauce. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout at PandemicSauceCompany.com. So we're talking barbecue sauce and a fly. I feel like you'd have to go kind of strong. I'm not a big fly guy. I'm not a fly guy, as you'd say. That actually kind of.
I think it was if it was fried fly, I could probably do it.
You sound like
Crunchy
Gwyneth
fly, I could do
Paltrow
it.
and Nicole Kidman telling us to eat bugs. I'd go strong. I'd go scorpion guava because I know not all, you know, it depends on the season. So I know not all the sauces are available right now, but jalapeno apple, mango habanero, those are kind of consistent. But I'd throw a little pineapple reaper on there. I think the sweetness from the pineapple would go well, would pair well with the Zag Nut. And the fly, I believe, would be drowned out by the reaper portion of it. Just. I don't know. Are you a fried or cooked insect guy? I mean, do you consume crickets and so forth? You have
I
you?
have.
My
Yeah.
goodness.
Yep. They're fine. I'd eat them again. It's not a top.
Would.
I don't think there's. They're just earthy flavor. They're not.
My goodness.
And you know, I do catch the occasional fly in the mouth on accident
Right.
because I do stick my head out the window with my mouth open when driving.
Of course.
So yeah. So
You
why
are a
not?
dog.
That's right. But yeah, I've sampled some of those.
I can't remember if I have or not
I'll
anymore.
try anything. I haven't had cockroach though. I haven't done that.
I think chocolate covered something. If
Okay.
I, maybe be able to do that. But do you ever watch the show Modern Family? There was a funny scene about consuming crickets.
So I've seen probably half the episodes of Modern Family, but I have not seen that one.
Okay. Anyways, it's there's a funny moment in that. So if you ever catch back up, but anyways, to tie a bow on this, Pandemic Sauce Company, great barbecue sauce. There's a scene in Fried Green Tomatoes where big old Big John or whatever says that it's Big George rather says that it's too hot for barbecue. And I think summer is a great time to grill and to barbecue and to smoke. So I don't know if he I'm not exactly sure what was going on there in the scene, but I'm gonna be that smoker is gonna be firing up once a week now that it's 90 degrees in May here in
Yeah.
Florida. But anyways, Pandemic Sauce Company, that's pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code automatic rewind at checkout for a discount. So before we read the ad, I think I was kind of giving like a take on the movie. Like I said, it's funny, like I've kind of view movies in a different way now. Like I either like love it and could watch it literally every single day, or I don't feel that way, but I can appreciate not only what it did for quote unquote cinema, but like comedy or drama or whatever. And I feel like this movie is like his well is historically renowned as like a great comedy of the 80s. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
Yeah,
it's
no, absolutely.
quotable. It's everyone knows who Beetlejuice is.
Correct.
Everyone. And and thank I'm so glad about Michael Keaton's resurgence. I think he was in that movie about Birdman. I never watched it, but it got serious acclaim. He was in the Founder movie about McDonald's, and then he was in the Spider-Man movie. I don't think you watch many superhero movies, but
Nope.
he was in this movie Homecoming, and it was the first Spider-Man with what's that boy's name? Young
I don't
British
know.
boy. Well, whatever. He's a young
Oh,
British boy. He's Tom Holland.
yeah, Tom Holland. Yeah.
And he was the bad guy in the movie. And it was awesome. He was a fucking stud. And it just seems like he, is kind of, I don't know what Michael Keaton's like in real life, but he has adopted this persona of a tough guy now. Like, I've seen him in like award shows where, and then he did like a commencement speech where he said, "I am Batman." And everyone's like, "Woo!" It's like he's kind of adopted this tough guy persona, and I don't know if he is a tough guy or not,
Yeah, I don't think he is.
but he's adopted this persona as like in upon his resurgence is what I mean.
Did you ever see the other guys?
What's so funny, I know the movie you're talking about, it was with Will Ferrell and Marky Mark Wahlberg, but it was a spoof on buddy cop movies as I recall.
Yes.
But there was a part I just could not get over or get past, and I turned it off. And it was the part where he was like hollering at his gorgeous wife, Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I just didn't find it at all funny, and I don't know if I was going through something, but I just never got past that scene, and I never watched the rest of it. But I have lately seen that Michael Keaton's in it,
He is.
and he go ahead. I want to hear what's
No,
the
he's
why
just
you brought it up.
hilarious, right? So he's like the lieutenant. You know, he's their lieutenant, the buddy cops, and he's always quoting, oh my gosh, what's the name of the group? R&B ladies from the 90s.
I know who it is. You want me to tell you?
Yes.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
Left Eye Lopez.
No, I know who's in the band. I know their songs. I just can't remember the name of them.
T-Boz, T whatever in their name,
Yeah.
T-Boz or T-Drez or whatever.
Once again, I know
TLC.
they're okay.
Sorry.
TLC.
Sorry.
Yeah. So no, he's great in that. Like he He works nights at Bed
quoting
Bath
that.
and Beyond. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's his second job is Bed Bath and Beyond because his kid's in college or
Does he have a
something.
tough guy persona, like he's the cop yelling at them that he's gonna bust them down to blah blah
It's
blah?
in a funny way, but he does it like in a funny way.
Okay.
So it's, once again, it's supposed to be a spoof, right? So,
Yeah.
one thing that Keaton did say, I saw an interview with him, and he said that this was his favorite movie to make. Just
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, yeah, just
Good.
because it was so creative. You know, they basically gave him carte blanche
Yeah.
to do whatever. Like
I think
he,
he, oh, sorry, go ahead.
no, he like Beetlejuice's look,
Yeah.
that like he developed that himself. You know, and obviously he kind of put the I guess he framed it or outlined it and started doing things, and then him and Burton collaborated to make
Yeah.
subtle changes and everything else. But that was basically his brainchild, so, or
Yeah.
not brainchild, but yeah.
The hair, the moldy skin. And I heard that, like, when he walked on set, people were so psyched to see him, and it got him all pumped up. And I think that really helps when you've got like a cheering section, because you have to let go when you're filming, when you're making a playing a role like this. I mean, you have to, right? I
A
mean,
hundred
it's like
percent.
it's the kind of shit that Jim Carrey and Robin Williams can do in their sleep. So that's why I was intrigued when I saw that they were potentials. I don't really know what Jim Carrey's catalog was like before this movie, though.
I was going to mention that when we were bringing up who may have gotten this role.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, this, I think this was pre Living in Living Color,
I
I
think you're right.
believe. So I wonder if he would have been as outlandish because he wasn't the star yet.
Yeah.
He was up and coming. So I don't know if you know, all of his, all like the mask
The
or,
mask. Oh, God, I loved it.
you know, any, almost any of his roles, Bruce Almighty, where he's just batshit crazy. He could have pulled it off. I don't know if he would have because he was a relative unknown at the time.
So he was in a movie called Once Bitten, where he played, I guess, a
A
vampire.
vampire. That's actually a pretty good movie.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
That's right.
The Deadpool, which he is in it for like a second. He plays the rock and roll character, Johnny Squares. Did you see Deadpool?
I did
It's a
not.
Dirty
No.
Harry movie. Okay, well, he plays like a he
Oh,
get
okay.
but he gets killed easy early. Earth Girls Are Easy, he plays an alien. So he's goofy. But that would have been right before Earth Girls Were Easy was 88 as well.
When was Once Bitten?
Once Bitten was 85.
Oh,
So
wow.
this Peggy Sue Got Married, and then he did Earth Girls Were Easy and Deadpool in 88. So I can't imagine either of those roles. But you know, he had that, and you know, he's in a movie called Rubber Face, and I mean, I was about to call him that. I think it's a short or something, but like he has a rubber face, like a very contortion face. Like he can do so much. But Pink Cadillac, I'm just trying to find out where. See, Ace Ventura was 94 and Living Color was 90 to 94. So you're right. This was before. And The Mask and Dumb and Dumber. I mean, you know, listen, right?
Yeah.
And then the rest is history. I mean, you know, good
Yeah, because
history.
the one movie, like I've seen What's Bitten, I think maybe two or three times actually.
Wow.
And he's the leading, he plays the leading role, and he's funny, but he's not outlandish.
Right.
So that's why I wonder, like, how would this character worked out
When
for
he
him?
was comfortable enough to be fucking like
Right.
crazy,
To
because
be Jim Carrey.
right. Because you know, even in the and it's so funny in The Mask, he obviously plays the crazy cartoon mask character. But he also plays a reasonably normal guy, Stanley Ipkiss, the banker. Very normal. It's like boring. So, you know, you're kind of watching it going, God, Jim Carrey's got range. And then you're like, well, there he is being Jim Carrey when he's got a green face on. And he's fabulous. You know? And Ace Ventura like blew me away. His behavior in that movie. I still think about it. I don't know. We were driving back from wedding this weekend, and I put on that song Lola by the Kinks. Do you know that song? It's about a guy falling in love with a drag queen that he doesn't know is a transvestite. That was timely. Such a forward-thinking podcast. But it made me think of that scene and or that whole premise in Ace Ventura, and of course it was, I think, I'm sure, modeled after the crying game. I
Yeah.
mean, I
Oh
know,
yeah,
I
it
know it
was.
was. I
It
know it
was.
was
Yeah.
because the scene itself referenced it, but I never saw the crying game just because I had no real interest in it. But obviously I have tremendous interest in Ace Ventura. And so my point is, Ace Ventura has crossed my mind as recently as like 2 days ago. It's just that movie is, I love that movie. You know, I don't know.
No,
What do you think?
it's fantastic.
Yeah. So, but back to the whole point of this, like Robin Williams, like I said, I mean, they would have had to have given more than 14 minutes of screen
Yeah,
time.
definitely for Robin Williams. Yeah, I mean, he's going to command it. Not necessarily
Not
just his,
purposefully, but it's
not
just he
purposefully,
will.
but just his, like, they would have to, just because,
Yeah.
one, if Tim Burton gave Robin Williams that much leeway, like, he wouldn't stop.
Right.
He wouldn't stop. It would just be constant and continuous. So
I
maybe
heard that.
instead of an hour and a half movie, it's a 2.5 or 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie.
Did
But
you
yeah.
see and you had to have seen Aladdin, you know, where
Yeah,
he
the
played the
original.
genie. Yeah, well, the only one that matters. Not that I have nothing against Will Smith. I just don't like these live action remakes. That's just a blanket statement. Just I don't like any of them. But apparently they're like, you know, they gave him Disney gave him like carte blanche to do whatever he wanted in those scenes. It's all ad lib, all his humor that he wrote, you know, jokes that either he came up with then or wrote. And apparently there's like the movie, the version we saw, a PG-13 version and like an R-rated version of his jokes. And like it's somewhere. Like, I don't think they've
Man.
deleted them, but like there are like hours of his jokes just riffing. And I truly miss him. Like, you know, like everyone's very sad about Jimmy Buffett dying, but I feel like every once in a while when I think that, remember that Robin Williams died, I get sad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you know, and we were talking earlier, like how suicide's not, you know, something necessarily to joke about, you know, that he, you know, killed himself and that was tragic. So, anyways, Robin Williams, though. Oh, God. We got to do one of his movies.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Overall, enjoyed this movie more than I rem would have than I remembered enjoying it. And I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we chose it. It's timely. Beetlejuice coming out quite soon. I think Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, obviously Keaton. I think those are the only three reprising their
I
roles.
think they are. I think those are the only three. Yep.
You can't hire a pedophile, and you
Well,
shouldn't.
he made a comeback.
He did.
But I think the premise of this movie is he's passed.
That's
So,
fine.
yeah.
And Alec Baldwin, he's got some
He
legal
he's
issues.
got some legal issues going on.
And he wasn't even I mean, you know, he was good in the movie, but he wasn't even close to the star, obviously.
No,
I mean,
no.
but that's so funny. He's the title character, obviously the star, one of the most recognizable characters in cinematic history, and he had 14 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant. That says a lot about his chops. And Winona Ryder has made a comeback with Stranger Things. I don't know if you've seen that on Netflix. It's I watched season one, very good, but
No, I haven't. Mrs. Gus tells me I need to watch it. She's like, "You'll love it." No, I think the last thing I've seen Winona Ryder in that I liked was Mr. Deeds.
you liked
So,
that, huh?
I thought it was good. It's Sandler, right? Like, you gotta have a when you gotta be in a mindset to watch a Sandler movie.
You guys ever watch those murder mystery movies he made for Netflix with Jennifer Aniston?
No, never even heard of this.
He made two movies. He plays kind of the same. It's they're sequels, obviously,
Okay.
but they're like a married couple from New York who like coincid by coincidence get involved in some kind of murder, you know, like in a foreign country,
I think I
and
have seen something. I haven't watched it, but I've seen like advertisements for him.
you know, if you get past a couple of things, he doesn't go full Adam Sandler, which I think is important in certain movies.
Right, yeah.
And he's got Jennifer Aniston, who I'm a huge fan of.
Huge fan of Jennifer
Huge.
Aniston. Huge, yeah.
Did you see the movie where he played the plastic surgeon who
No.
I can't just go with it, it's what it's called. He's dating Brooklyn Decker.
Oh, okay.
And they go to Hawaii. Another one where
Yeah.
he doesn't go full Sandler. And I liked it a lot, actually.
Okay.
It's but I think you and Mrs. Gus should at least give one of the murder mysteries a try.
Okay.
I didn't even see the first one before I watched the second one. And the second one's really good, I think.
Okay.
There are
No.
certain members of our other podcast, the Bourbon Boys, who would not agree with me. One member in particular.
Was he a guest on this?
No, he definitely wouldn't agree, but I'm thinking of like a current member of the Bourbon Boys.
Yeah, we had a guest on for
He was a guest. That's right.
For LA Confidential.
Yeah, we need to get him back for another movie.
Yeah. Well, I think I got one in mind.
Do you?
For what we were talking about.
Should we tease them? Our teasing is just
it's,
that.
It's just that, because we tease something and then we don't follow through. So.
I think that's the definition of teasing.
Well, no, isn't a tease to keep the audience coming back?
No, I know, but in real life, you know, you tease someone and you...
Yeah.
Aren't you in high school? I'm sure you got teased once or twice.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, oh, but...
Embarrassing.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, we're looking at doing maybe a little tribute.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Recently deceased.
Yeah, recently deceased. And I think there's a movie that we probably should do, which we did on the first iteration of this podcast when I was doing it solo and brought Cuz on as well.
Mercifully deleted that one, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should all be down, hopefully. Not that they're any better than these or this is any better than those. No, they are. You bring a lot to the show.
I think we're getting better.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely getting better. But yeah, so
not
you
because
might
of
be...
me, but you know, you need a kind of a rough draft sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it may still be floating around in the cloud, but we'll probably redo that one, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If not, we'll do another one that's from the same person that we're going to have a tribute for.
Yeah.
And we'll still, well, I think,
we need to do like just like a straight month of Tarantino, though. I feel like we owe it to our audience. Like, it doesn't have to be like this coming month, but
right.
Like,
yeah.
Something, because Tarantino deserves some episodes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Are you a Guy Ritchie fan?
Oh, I love Guy Ritchie.
Okay, yeah.
How about you?
Love Guy. I just wrapped up The Gentleman.
The TV show or
the
movie?
TV show? The TV show. I saw the movie when it came out in theaters.
No, we saw it in the theaters as well.
Yeah.
Mrs. Cuz and I loved that movie. I mean, it's flawed, but it's great. And we love the Sherlock Holmes movies. I mean, I really love those.
Yes,
movies.
I do
Snatch,
too.
Lock, Stock. I never saw
Rock and Rolla.
Rock and Rolla. Was it good?
Rock and Rolla is good. Revolver is good.
Right. He's got Vinnie Jones in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, Vinnie Jones. And Vinnie Jones was in the Gentleman series.
No, he was? Okay, yep. So we watched... Yep. See, the funny thing is we... On spring break, I had my sister and brother-in-law. We were up at my in-law's beach house, and we watched the first episode, and then we go, wait a minute. This is a legitimate sequel to the... Not a legitimate sequel, but I mean, there... No. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. We were concerned there were going to be some things that they might miss, so we ended up just having them watch the movie.
Okay.
And then we never got around to watching the series because of, you know, kids and shit. But so the series is good.
Series is good.
All right.
Series is good. I think it's going to continue on.
He also has to have a reference to the movie.
He also did Arthur or King Arthur.
Yeah. That was with Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Correct.
That was okay.
It was pretty good. I mean, yeah. I just like his movies. I like him Christopher Nolan.
Sure,
huge Nolan. Huge Nolan fan.
Apparently, Nolan said he's going to re-release Interstellar in the theaters this summer because of the 10-year anniversary, which kind of made me sick to my stomach that it had been 10 years.
It's been 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
The effects alone. I think that belongs in the theater.
Yeah, I would say so.
Of course, the parting with, you know, the him parting with his daughter is not... I'm not looking forward to those scenes.
No, not ideal.
No. But there was a funny, like, somebody put together, like, a bunch of clips of him saying Murph over and over again. Murph, 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 you know, and all the different.
Right.
So thankfully I can think of that and not cry my eyes out when
there
I'm watching
go.
That scene. Murph.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, all right.
Yeah. So
I think we've kind of pegged out Beetlejuice here.
God, pegged?
Sorry.
Pegged Beetlejuice?
Bad, pegged out. Well, yeah, it's not a great choice of words. I think Beetlejuice has run his course.
Sure.
For now.
Come and gone.
Coming
He's
on,
on his
yeah.
way back, though, baby.
He is. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. I did it. I did it one last time. Awesome. Well, cuz,
Yes,
where
sir.
can everybody find us?
Well, don't forget to like, subscribe, and rate and follow. You can find us on any of the podcast platforms. That'd be Spotify and, of course, the Apple Podcasts. I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. That's pandemicsaucecompany.com. Share this episode with your friends. Everybody on Earth likes movies. Maybe they don't like Beetlejuice, but maybe they like something a little more serious. Maybe Gladiator. Maybe LA Confidential. Maybe they love Raiders of the Lost Ark. I appreciate it. Anyways, but speaking of movies, if you have any suggestions for us to review, why don't you email me? I've got an email address. It's Cousin Bailey, CUZZINBAILEY at gmail.com, and I promise we'll think about it. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll think about it. We got
Of
a long
course.
list of movies, but no,
Yeah.
I mean, we're always down for recommendations. We sometimes we can get we can get laser focused on one thing, and it's kind of good to have some other ideas thrown around and kicked around, much like how we got to Beetlejuice. This was not a Cousin Bailey Gus entry. This came from Mrs. Cousin Bailey.
That's right. She came up. She was like, they're coming out with a new movie. And I think her words were, if you're ever going to do Beetlejuice, now's the time to do Beetlejuice.
Exactly.
Hashtag Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
That's right, Beetlejuice.
That's not how hashtags work,
That's
unfortunately.
not. That's not. Oh well. Awesome. For Cousin Bailey, I'm Gus. We'll see you next episode.